Hey everyone, Chris Platy here. Got a special episode of Strictly Hip Hop today. Got my guys Spike Lou and M Extra returning to the podcast to break down hip hop real estate and how that is affected by COVID. Now, this is something that was planned in the works when I was posting on social media sites that I think we're going to hear from Kendrick and Drake soon. And a week passed and we heard from both Kendrick and Drake. Drake obviously making the statement just days ago that his new album is coming out January of 2021. So Spike brings it all the way back to our 2019 conversation about hip hop real estate. And does that matter? Is that important? Of course, I want to shout out Joe Budden, because Joe Budden is the only platform that I heard talking about hip hop real estate. And it was such a fascinating and interesting concept that I wanted to explore it more. And I would love to one day explore it with Joe and them at the JBP. But for now, I got my guy Spike Lou, and we had a great conversation. And this time, M Extra joins us to provide his perspective as well. And we also bring in the idea of COVID and how that changes hip hop real estate. Does it matter more or less for artists now because they don't have the same necessary tools that they had? They don't have touring right now. So is hip hop real estate more important because more of the money is coming through streams? Or is it less important because everybody is just trying to get music out and the industry is just totally flipped on its head? So we explore that. We explore what it's like to do, to check on the lower tiers of hip hop, as well as the legacy acts. And then we, of course, finish with a prediction on what we're getting and when we're getting it from Kendrick Lamar, Drake, and J. Cole, the big three of our decade. So it's a very, very interesting conversation, very excited, and I look forward to this stuff, man. This is the stuff that, this is the nerdy hip-hop stuff that I love, the philosophical talks and the idea of trying to figure out who's going to drop when and what the kind of industry games are behind each person's release, and all this stuff is just fun to me. So I hope you guys enjoy this podcast. Please don't forget to follow me on the social medias. At Real Chris Platy, ChrisPlatte. I know you know how to spell real. So without further ado, everyone, let's get to today's episode. Spike Lou, M Extra, Chris Platy, Strictly Hip Hop. We're talking hip hop, real estate, and COVID, and the big three, Kendrick, Drake, and Cole, and how that is all intertwined. Let's go. Hello everyone, welcome back to a special episode of Strictly Hip Hop. As always, I am your host, Chris Platy. Returning to the podcast are two good friends of mine from the On Deck family. We got Spike Lou of the On Deck TV podcast, and of course my boy M Extra of the podcast that I'm blanking on but is coming soon. What's the name of that podcast coming soon, M Extra?
The Smash Podcast.
Yeah. And we're going to plug that at the end, and the link will be in the description. But we are here to visit a conversation that Spike and I have had a little bit through the last year and a half, and that's hip-hop real estate, which was inspired from Joe Budden talking about it on the Joe Budden podcast. And we basically kind of took that and broke down, okay, looking at what does it mean to be an A-tier artist? Like, does window releases matter? What does history tell us? And we kind of broke that down. And then now is a good time to revisit it, because here we are at hip hop at the very end of quarter four, nearing quarter four, I should say. And it's been a crazy year because of COVID. It's been super unpredictable. So the idea of does real estate matter more in hip hop because of COVID, and what to expect, because there's much rumors surrounding the big three of rap right now, Drake, Cole, and Kendrick. So first of all, to kind of recap where we were with the last conversation Spike and I had in mid 2019, we were looking at historically.
Damn, was that long ago?
It was, dude. It was. You know what it was? Shit. It was right after DJ Khaled released his, or right before he released that album.
It sure was.
Yeah, that's how long ago
Kobe
it was.
Kobe hit fast forward on the year.
It did.
Like, shit flew by. I feel like it was just March, and it's going to be November, which is amazing.
Yeah, it's been a year, and it's made every other year just blurry.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like when you look back at 2019, doesn't seem like 2019 at all. It's just it's really messed up everybody's time.
Like it was crazy. Years ago.
Yeah. So when we were looking at Spike and I were looking at it, is that usually what the A-listers do is they have like a 3 to 6 week window where there's 3 weeks of peak, the first 3 weeks that they put out a project, and then it kind of tails off for the next couple weeks, and usually it will stay there even longer because it is an A-list artist like a Drake, a Cole, or a Kendrick. But what happens is it slowly slides down the charts. So I actually went out and I mapped out their releases and kind of since 2014 when all three were considered juggernauts and like really established and took the next level. So you had Cole release in December of 2014, December 9th. Drake comes just under 2 months later with If You're Reading This. And then Kendrick comes a month after that. And then it goes a couple of Drake releases like 6 months after that. And Cole obviously took his big hiatus and Kendrick took his big hiatus between their last albums, which were Forest Hills Drive and To Pimp a Butterfly. And so it looks like when these guys drop, statistically speaking, they drop within a month and a half of each other, which checks out to the conversation Spike and I were having. But the first question I have is, I'll extend this to you guys. I'll start with you, M Extra. With Drake now making the claim that that he's dropping in January of 2021, you know, how does that set the tone for you? Do you think that is a sign that hip hop real estate still matters, or because this year has been so crazy, things will be out of normal or different than previous years?
Yeah, I mean, things are definitely going to be different considering the landscape now. I don't think. The time holds much weight as it used to. For instance, Drake is dropping at the beginning of the first quarter as opposed to the end of the fourth quarter, when usually as it has been in the past, big artists like Drake drop in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. So now, I mean, now it's just that time and music and what's going on with COVID, that it really is not the same anymore. So it doesn't matter. I can say if any of these artists drop, no matter when they drop, the impact will be the same.
Okay, Spike?
I think we're going to see. I think the beginning of the year, you were able to get some test cases out there. People were trying different things, virtual things, just trying to see what would stick. And I think that we were able to gauge off the Drake. Didn't Drake drop the Dark Lane mm-hmm. demo tapes earlier this year?
Yeah.
Like, I think we've been able to gauge off responses that the big three, as you said, they have done. Like, Cole put out the single. Kendrick has been the only one that's been completely silent. Mm-hmm. But I think that those guys are learning to navigate this, and we kind of have seen them act accordingly with J. Cole, it's the Lewis Street Pack. And again, with Drake, it was the Dark Lane demo tapes. And I think that the verdict is still out. We're still going to see how this will affect rollouts. A lot's going to depend on what Drake does in January. A lot's going to depend on the murmurs that Kendrick Lamar is about to come out and what we see from J. Cole with his promise. I think, is it Kill Elwood? Is that the next mm-hmm. one? So I think it's still in the air.
No, the fall off should be the next one.
Excuse me, the fall off. What happened to that King Elwood shit?
Yeah, he
Kill Elwood was an alter ego, but they said they were working on the album, but the fall off is supposed to be next.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah. And if anybody knows, it's M Extra.
Right. If anybody knows the Dreamville rollout, it's M Extra.
Yeah.
What do you think, Chris? What have you seen?
I think that you're right. I think we're not certain of it, and I think that times could be a little bit different, but I think that I think that Drake announcing the way he did, I mean, basically 3 months in advance or damn near 3 months in advance, I think that shows that that real estate still matters. I think that's Drake kind of staking his claim. And now the question is, does that mean that that pushes up a Kendrick or a Cole or pushes them back to go, you know, because April is ideally a big time for festivals and all of that. But with COVID, we don't know that. And Travis Scott, also another guy who's pretty much, if he's not A-list, he's A-list adjacent right now with how popular he is.
He's A-list.
Yeah, he sent that. Yeah, he sent that memo out that said, you know, hey, DJs, like 2021 is going to be a special year. So, you know, so there's a lot of artists staking claim. And I think that's because we still just don't know due to the fact of like when concerts are coming and all of that. So I'm really just, I'm unsure, but I do think that it means something for Drake to say, to make a claim that he's dropping in January. And like M Extra said, I thought was a great point, was that fourth quarter is a great time. Like if you look at Kanye, I think most of his releases were in fourth quarter. He had a couple November releases.
Big time.
And that's right around Black Friday and all of that. And that's when Black Friday, Christmas, that's when you can get all those extra album sales. That's when people are spending money if you're going to buy music. And now with the merch game and stuff like that, I think that fourth quarter is now probably more lucrative than ever. You know, so I think that Drake dropping in a month that's January, that's historically the worst month to drop because it's a month that everybody's overspending money. Everybody's just setting all their New Year's resolutions and trying to plan out their whole year rather than look at what's actually in front of them and dealing with that. So I don't know. I think it does matter. I just think, I guess my next question is, do you guys think that, if you guys are unsure, do you guys think that this changes, that this statement is a statement towards Cole and Kendrick, and if that changes their mind state on what they're doing for their next albums?
No, I don't. So for me, whenever we talk about Drake, Kendrick, and Cole, we have to remember that Cole and Kendrick are just completely different when it comes to the attention mm-hmm. that Drake loves so much. So that's what we have to keep in mind. I can already tell you that Cole already had his plan before Drake announced any of this. There's no doubt in my mind. So I don't think anything changes with the way Dreamville does their rollout. They're always smart with their rollouts. I don't think this alters it either way. It won't come out earlier or later than what it's supposed to come out. Because that's how Cole and Kendrick and TDE is the same way. That's how they operate. They operate on their own way. Kendrick will drop on a random Tuesday in the first week of December or something like that. That will happen. Cole, same thing with Cole. We weren't even supposed to get those records that early. He just said, let me just go ahead and let it go. So yeah, they move on their own. I don't think Drake dictates it, or I don't think it alters what they already had going.
I disagree. Well, I wouldn't necessarily disagree, but I think that he's trying to dictate it. Mm-hmm. I think that him mentioning this 3 months out, when like that's Drake could roll, like you said, he could roll over and drop an album and he gonna do what he do. Saying it 3 months ahead, I think kind of takes us back to that point when he had the discontent with Kanye, right? Like he was going and mad at Kanye because he's like, I went and told you my album date, the whole rollout for the Scorpion album, and you dropped fucking six albums that month.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that Drake's already proven like, he wants his territory.
Yeah.
Like, so if I'm saying January now, I think that he's subtly saying, I don't expect a Kendrick Lamar album in January. I don't expect a J. Cole album in January. So I want to say this now in October, and I'm going to expect you guys to respect it and either drop now or drop after, but leave me January, just based off what his discontent with what Kanye did.
Yeah. And I think another reason that Drake, I think you're right, Spike. I think you actually hit the nail on the head here, because I think it matters to Drake. Whether it matters to Kendrick and Cole is different.
That was my point. It doesn't matter to them. Yeah, it only matters
that,
to them.
You're right. You're absolutely right about that point. That's a good one. Yeah. Like, I don't think it matters as much to them as it does to Drake. And yeah, that's why he's trying to very early say, hey, I want this. This is mine, right? Yeah. We agree, guys? I got this one.
Another thing to keep in mind when I was looking at all of this stuff is that I had forgot, and this is funny because I'm a Kendrick fan, but I had forgot that the last two albums Kendrick released were within the span of a month of Drake releases. And both times, Kendrick actually outsold Drake. So we talk about Drake as the king of the numbers, but the last two times that Drake dropped, when Kendrick dropped, they're both within the span of like a month and a half of each other, and both times Kendrick outsold Drake.
Kendrick's been a bigger star than Drake up until like the last 4 or 5 years, though, right?
I don't know about all that. Bigger star?
Well, when we're talking about, I guess I tried to get that off. Musically, right? Like Kendrick Lamar can, I guess now the Drake that would drop is a much bigger star than the Drake that was battling Kendrick Lamar then. I guess that's a better way to put it, right? Because we're talking about the mixtape. I mean, not the mixtape, but it was the playlist.
Yeah.
And Damn that you're talking about that were close to each other, right? Mm-hmm. And then the other one was the Pimp a Butterfly and what?
If You're Reading This.
Which was kind of random.
Yeah.
And it was kind of random. It was like, oh, is he leaving Cash Money? Is this a throwaway? Mm-hmm. So I
would expect those albums were not even like supposed to be albums. So
right. And that goes to my point. So saying Kendrick Lamar outsold those albums, comparing it to Kendrick Lamar trying to sell a scheduled release Drake project coming out in 3 months, and I've already named it. I got promo and everything. I don't think that happens again.
I don't know, man. There's something to be said about waiting 3+ years. I think that
it is, but
and another thing that works in specifically Kendrick's favor when it comes to album sales is Drake traditionally gets only 15-20% in pure sales, whereas Kendrick gets over 60. So Drake gets all of the streams, but what Kendrick gets a lot, he gets enough streams, but the big difference is that Kendrick gets a lot of albums purchased versus Drake gets a lot of streaming, a lot of licensing, all of that stuff that really boosts his numbers. But yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right that those are two projects where they're kind of mixtape playlists, like kind of they weren't studio release scheduled albums. I remember More Life was kind of a thing that was like rumored in December and then ended up dropping in March. So I think
then it was like, what is it?
Yeah, and there was that whole thing of what is it? Yeah, so I think that you're right that that is something to be fair and to take into account. But I think it's also on the other side worth noting that the times that they have released closely, that Kendrick has outsold them, and I think that plays into Drake making this announcement this early, because I think he wants to, like you guys said, make it clear that, you know, whether on their, whether it affects Cole and Kendrick is something that only really they know. We can speculate, but I think that for Drake, it is kind of making that statement of I want this time specifically for me. And I think that again, a lot of it is, I think it could have been a 2020 release if it weren't for the uncertainty around concerts. Cause I mean, at this point we still don't even know really when can we do a concert? When can we do a festival?
I think it's 2022. Like it's tentatively.
Yeah. I don't think we're gonna be
missing at least another year.
Yeah.
Especially with the spikes recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be a brutal winter.
Yeah. And we now have only 9 Fridays left in the year. So that leaves everything up in the air. Like another thing that I like to do, and Spike knows this because I've talked to Spike about this, I like to make a document every year and I update it throughout the year based on, I look at all the artists that I follow and I kind of look at when was their last release, when are they, you know, what are the kind of signs, the tea leaves that they're coming soon or this and this, that, and the third. And I think that J. Cole was originally planning for something around election time because he had that whole election campaign little commercial that he had, like a little trailer that he had for the Fall Off.
Yeah.
So I missed that. With only nine, that was in late last year, right? Wasn't it? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was on Twitter and stuff. It was huge.
It was just a little commercial, like vote J. Cole for 2020 for the Fall Off. So it was like election themed. And so now with only nine Fridays left, I'm wondering, because Cole's the one we've actually heard the least about recently, because Kendrick's starting to get active. He's been doing the interview. We heard that he shot a music video.
No, we heard more about Cole than Kendrick. Cole did that one. He did that. He dropped beef with
the Dreamville.
What's the girl? No Name on Twitter. He dropped the record. Then he dropped the 2-pack. And then he was in ESPN, The Undisputed, wrote that article. So it's much more than Kendrick. I just saw Kendrick with Baby Keem, and that's it.
Yeah. I'm talking just recently. Like, throughout the year, J. Cole has been. But the last couple months, I mean, it's been since what the last thing was the article, right? I'm extra So I think. So I'm wondering now, you know, if Cole's trying to push to, if Cole's pushing to wait a little bit later, or what's going on there? Because with nine Fridays left, I think that goes into the whole 3 to 6 week window. Obviously, if they're keeping in mind of that, Cole and Kendrick have really never dropped together specifically or near each other. The nearest they've been, let's see on this is, it's literally 3 months. Forest Hills Drive and To Pimp a Butterfly, 3.5 months. Now, and that's because they're artists that take multiple years. So for things to line up, for them to drop pretty similar is kind of rare in and of itself. So, I wonder if that's something that, do you guys think taking Drake out of the equation, do you think that between Cole and Kendrick, there is a little something there with, I'm not talking tension or anything, but I'm talking in terms of with there only being nine Fridays left in the year, and typically these A-listers are 3 to 6 weeks of chart topping competition that leaves very little scheduling, or that leaves very tight scheduling.
I think it's less important to those two because you said it takes longer for them to come out with the albums. So I think that there's a more organic process that goes into creating a Kendrick Lamar album, or a more organic process that goes into creating a J. Cole album, right? So I think that both of those two as artists will respect if we've been in the lab and the last thing that you came out with was The Fall Off. Well, what's the name of it? What's J. Cole last
K.O.D.
album, K.O.D. 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 Yeah, the last thing you came out with K.O.D. and the last thing that I did was Black Panther soundtrack, as far as from a creative standpoint, and we both been in the lab since then, and now we're both finished. I don't think that's as egregious as Drake, because he's just more active. Like, there's more stuff that you see. Like, you're gonna get an album every year from Drake. You're gonna get the features every year from Drake. So it's probably, he can be more calculated, not to say it's not as artistic as those two guys, but he can be more calculated just because of the frequency of when he drops.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about it when you said more organic, because I feel like they all have organic, you know, processes. It's just Drake is just a look at me as opposed to Cole and Kendrick. That's pretty much it. As far as the artistry goes, I think they all come up with pretty good, dope, organic ideas. But
to address that, though, I think what I'm saying is, when I mean organic, if I were to stumble upon a J. Cole studio session, I wouldn't be shocked if I walked in and it was him, Boz, and the producer and the engineer. I wouldn't be shocked at that. Same thing with Kendrick. If I were to stumble upon, I wouldn't be shocked if it was just him, Schoolboy, and Engineer, and Top Dog in there. When I say that about Drake, and I'm not saying that people write his raps, so I don't want people to think this is what I'm saying. I'm just talking about the process is more like streamlined. I would be shocked if it were just four people in a recording session with Drake. And that ain't as organic as a recording session that's intimate for people. Hey, run this back, punch me in. As to where I feel like Drake got like 30 people in there. Hey, do he got that hook ready? Do he got this ready? And it's just not as organic. And I feel like that process can happen a lot faster than one where it's just like we in the lab, we intimate, we checking in every night.
That's interesting. I think we got to go to some studio sessions and find out. Now let's talk about, okay, so let's talk about, so now we have with the big three, so now let's kind of visit the other tiers, right? Because again, there are nine Fridays left in the year, 9 week releases, 9 weeks to release music, if I could say that correctly. Yeah. And Meek Mill has already made an announcement pretty far out. Busta Rhymes made an announcement. Whom I miss, Sci-Hi also made an announcement. So there are some artists that are, you know, of some higher tiers coming. How do you think the A-list actions affect those underneath, especially in a year where it's a pandemic, where you can't tour? I mean, are these artists right now scared that Kendrick is coming soon or J. Cole is coming soon, or are they not really worried about it?
I mean, 2020, I don't think people are worried about it. I think because everything is just, it's just, everything is so much different now. People don't even, people go more off of statistics and their fan base than they do what other artists are doing now. Because everything is calculated. It's like Moneyball. You can literally look at the stats. You can literally see where you're performing, what demographic, et cetera, et cetera. So I think people are more playing the field as opposed to worrying about a specific artist dropping. I can tell you it's a gang of artists that's going to drop before the end of the year. Those you name and many more. And that's just because people are ready, it's ready to release music. And the holiday time, during this time, you're going to be inside a lot. People are going to want to listen to a lot of music. So I feel like we're going to have a good number of people dropping at the end of the year.
But do you think I'm extra? So to piggyback off of your point, you know, of yes, like, do you think that these A-list artists are necessarily, do you think that affects them in any way, just generally speaking? Do you think that if Sci-Hi drops the same week as Kendrick, do you think that hurts Sci-Hi's numbers, increases them, leaves them the same? What do you think that does to?
Somebody like Sci-Hi is not going to matter either way, because he's one of those artists with the niche fan base. I mean, they're going to buy it. He's not a commercial artist like that. He's not going to sell crazy numbers. So for him, it's not going to matter. Now, some may argue that Kendrick releases, it might overshadow. That may be the only thing. But other than that, his numbers won't be too much different no matter when he drops.
Okay, Spike, do you agree with that, or where do you sit on that?
I think it helps Sci-Hi, actually. I think I'm one of those the rising tide lifts all boats type of people in hip hop. As far as rising tide lift all boats, man. You done heard that in Atlanta. But I feel like you get somebody like Drake dropping on the same day as Sci-Hi. You there, you on the app, you're gonna listen to Drake album, and whether it be a suggested next play or you just roll right into it because you see it and it catches your interest. Since you're there and such a big artist is there, it's going to bring so many people there that day. When I'm talking about Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, it helps them. Like, it helps people talk about, hey, you hear that Drake? Yeah, Sci-Hi came out too. Like, I think that's the thing that the Freddie Gibbs and the Pusha T's and the Meek, well, I don't know if Meek Mill necessarily falls into that category, but some of those second tier guys, they do kind of lift up with the Drakes and stuff when they drop on the same days.
Yeah, so Meek is not there. He's a little ahead of those guys.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
He is, but I actually think when I'm thinking of this, you guys are making interesting points, but the artists that I think of the artists that I named, like Busta and Sci-Hi, I agree. I think for the most
part, I don't even know why we're talking about Busta Rhymes. I'm going to be honest with you.
Don't do Busta like that. Man.
Yeah. 2 years ago, Ninth said that was album of the year. So
I got excited.
That was a lie.
Yeah, that Busta Rhymes album that he was working on, which is now the album that we're getting, was album of the year.
Oh, Ninth Wonder said that?
Yeah. And I trust Ninth. I trust Ninth Wonder.
Now, Bus can rap his ass off now. Don't do that.
Yeah, fam. Bus.
You know that. You know he can rap his ass off.
Busta Rhymes can rap, but the year that he has the best album or project that comes out is the year that I'm going to stop listening to rap. I promise you. I'm going to be that's going to be the year that I'm done. I'm hanging it up.
Tapping out.
I'm just not a Busta Rhymes fan, though. I'm not a fast rapper fan, though.
I am with some that are good.
Midwest, you see, I usually like the fast stuff.
But he switches it up. I like he's not fast all the time.
Yeah. Busting Rhymes don't rap fast all the time?
No.
Like, you got to send me a song where he's not rapping fast.
One of his most famous songs, he's not rapping fast.
Which one? The song with Janet Jackson?
If you give it to me, yeah, he don't rap fast on that.
The song with Janet Jackson when they was in like the suits and shit?
No, that's a different song.
Okay. See, Busta Rhymes never made it to my life.
Nashville,
Tennessee, it wasn't no Busta Rhymes fans. Like, it's one.
Brandon Lockridge loves.
Yeah, Lock, the only, I promise you, going off on a tangent here, Lock is the only person from the FSP podcast that I've ever met in my entire life, ever, that was a Busta Rhymes fan. Ever met in my entire life. It was crazy.
No, that's not true. Not a Busta Rhymes fan, but Busta Rhymes is
his number one. That's his favorite rapper. That's what I meant.
Let's clarify that. That's his favorite rapper.
That's crazy. Busta Rhymes being your favorite rapper.
That is fucking nuts.
That's nuts. It's
y'all messing up.
He grew up in our era too. Like, it's like, what? Come on.
That's funny as hell.
Funny as shit.
Listen, Busta Rhymes aside, I'm personally looking forward to Busta Rhymes.
I like Busta.
Y'all are lying, man. Y'all are not looking forward to Busta Rhymes.
I like Busta, man.
You follow me on Apple Music, Spike. You'll see Listen To By. You'll see it.
Yeah, I like Busta, man. Extinction Level Event was a great album.
I guess I'm kind of sour on him because he tried to come at my boy.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so... Back to what we were saying for that Busta Rhymes tangent.
Yeah, I was saying, a lot of artists are going to drop regardless of what. So. Yeah,
but I think that of the names that we mentioned, the Busta Rhymes, the Sci-Highs, I think their fan bases are their numbers are relatively intact, no matter who drops. But one I do think is a more commercially, like, Meek Mill is pretty commercial and popular now. I would actually think that Meek Mill would be of them the most likely to be affected by a J. Cole or a Kendrick release, because Meek Mill is really the only one that's like capable of going mainstream. Like, Sci-High could have like one song that pops off or whatever, but for the most part, Sci-High is gonna give a quality album that people who love hip hop or people that love Sci-High are going to like. And same with Busta. So. With Meek Mill, though, Meek Mill has those Uptown Records. That last album was filled with, like, kind of those, like, I'm going for commercial with Cardi B, all that stuff. So I actually think that if there were anyone to be affected by a big three release, it would be a Meek Mill.
I disagree. I think he's on the next tier, though, right? Like, he up there.
He is.
Big Sean, Meek Mill, arguably Wale, maybe. Like, that's next.
But,
right?
I can see both sides, because he's such a big artist that a larger artist like that can affect. I can see. But, I mean, people still listen.
Yeah, but they're
but the rollout might be affected for sure.
Yeah, they're in similar spaces in that they're both commercially viable, capable artists, and so I wonder if Meek Mill could kind of suffer a little bit of casualty in that.
Question for you two. You're in Meek Mill's camp, and he comes to you for advice because you had your scheduled release date coming out the same day as Drake. You guys going to Meek and you say, hey, I think we should move the album, or are you encouraging him to come out on the same day?
Well, specifically
the same day?
Yeah.
I'm not encouraging him to come out next week, or the same day.
Within the same month.
Maybe, but not in
3 to 4 weeks,
Y'all don't think Meek would welcome a challenge of dropping the same day as a Drake, Kendrick, or Cole?
Well, there's no point.
I mean, he might, but it might not be smart. Taking specifically Meek and Drake as an example, I think it would be really dope if they dropped on the same day. They could do their little haha beef thing. I get what you're saying, Spike. Like, you're taking out that as a factor, but actually, if we were to factor that part of it in, the whole history between those two, I think they could make it like a 50 Cent Kanye type thing where they actually boost each other.
Yeah, I would do that as opposed to moving it, especially if I was already in motion.
But if it's Kendrick, I don't know. I think Meek's numbers get squashed a little bit. he still does fine. He's Meek Mill. He's a great artist, and he has a strong following. But I think some of those records don't chart as high as they are. And I think this is a question that I got to extend to you guys, because I'm wondering where I'm at with it as well. Is like, so we are the whatever percent of music fans, right? The ones that listen to pretty much as we can every year, and we don't mind running through 3-4 projects on a weekend. But I feel like most people aren't that. I feel like most people either play the playlist, or if they check out, they check out one album and then they're on to something else, and then maybe later in the weekend they check out another album. That's why I think real estate matters, because I think, yes, everything is so accessible, but I do kind of think that most general people, where most of the where a good amount of the music money lies, are people that are going to listen to, they're going to pick their album that they want to listen to first. They're going to listen to that, and then it might take them some time to listen to that other album, versus us, we just kind of run through them through the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think most people don't even really listen to albums anymore. And I don't, yeah, for me, it takes me longer than the weekend to listen to some new stuff, especially if I'm,
oh yeah, me too,
looking forward to anything. But we're in a playlist society. So yeah, we are in the minority when it comes to taking the album and digesting that, and, you know, listening to the whole thing, because you have a repeat and a shuffle society on right now. And that's what it's about.
And if it's hard for us, I'd imagine it's a lot harder for the casual.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sometimes people, I mean, that's why when I make playlists, people are like, oh, I didn't even hear this song on the album, or because they're not listening to the albums. They're just picking songs, picking and choosing.
I think that the artists that don't try to cater to that society make better music.
Yeah.
And they get, and Freddie, like I give Freddie Gibbs, for example, to mention his name again. I wasn't a big Freddie Gibbs fan coming into this year. But what I've respected about him this year, and I could throw Benny with his last album in there, like those guys, they're not chasing. They don't care if you adding their shit to a playlist. More so they care if you coming to check them out and buying into the whole, I'll give Griselda, for example, brand. Like you buying our t-shirts, you're coming to our shows before COVID. And I think that as things either continue to stay the same, or we get the results of how COVID affects this industry, those are going to be the people that prosper more. You're going to have less of those little pumps, less of those blue faces, less of those people who can make a hot song and then connect it with the right people so it gets traction, as opposed to somebody like Freddie Gibbs, who's going to go in and give you a dope-ass project every time he comes out and not worry if that song goes on a playlist.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I think that's a great point, that there are certain artists that cater to their they play their audience, they play their lane that they're skilled at, and through that they get some more exposure, and then they reach out and they grab other people that are willing to be in that same lane or as consumers. So I don't think that they get more pop, like Benny's more popular than he was 2 years ago, but I don't think Benny fans have changed. I think it's still,
he gained some new fans.
Has broadened.
Yeah,
I guess so, but I feel like for the most part it's still
got new fans for sure.
Yeah. No. I'm saying he's got new fans, but I think that I'm saying the new fans that he got, to me, are of the same mindset. They just weren't privy to him. Like, they didn't get exposed to him. Like, I don't think that the people that listened to Benny 2 years ago, if they would have heard him 2 years ago, like, I think that they would have been into him then. It's just a matter of, through just consistently being talked about and reaching more eyes, you're grabbing more people that are still in. You're not necessarily your lane is still the same, but you're getting more people because you're getting more exposure, if that makes sense of what I'm seeing. He's still attracting the same type of consumer, I guess you could say, or the same demographic, so to speak.
Right, it's just more of them.
Yeah,
true. And I think that there's this thing that we have, like the rapper that shall not be named with the rainbow colored hair brought a big light unto here recently. And that's like, hip hop is getting a little bit more thorough, and like, they don't want the gimmicks and shit no more. And when you're talking about somebody like Benny or even Westside, like it's artistry for them. Like Benny, from the sense of just lyrical, like monster. And with Westside, like the marketing, the merch, and it takes a longer time for that ball to that snowball to roll down the hill and get bigger, as opposed to the flash in the pan, like 6ix9ine, who was just doing whatever to get hot. Then you see 2 years later what happens. And you get a million downloads, you get a million people to listen to it, but that shit's not lasting because it's just not authentic. On the flip side, you get a Freddie Gibbs, you get a Benny, you get a Boldy James, you get a Shay Noir. You get these people who just like rap their ass off, and people love the, I think artistry is making a stronger case in 2020 thanks to people like Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole than it was just two years ago, when you had people like 6ix9ine and Lil Pump and whatever the fuck the rest of those people's names are.
True. I think that all plays into the whole idea of real estate, because the real estate is, again, like, it is for your lane. It's for your area that you're, I think that's why real estate is important to some artists, is because you're staking claim in a Drake, who relies on more of a commercial viability than a hip hop viability. So for him, he's trying to make that statement to attract the casual listeners who might not spend three albums in a week or 2 weeks or whatever. He's trying to make sure that those people that are just going to listen to an album once, or maybe even not even visit the album, but just listen to the Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, trusted playlist, whatever their rap caviars, their A-list, their playlists like that. So I think that goes exactly to what you're saying, Spike, is that real estate does matter to everybody, but it's to different extents and different situations, different lanes, all of that.
Absolutely.
So now I have one more question to kind of go on this, and that's, so we talked about the A-list, we talked about the lower tier artists, and I think that 2020 has been a great year for those type of artists, for the lower tier artists, as well as 2019, because we didn't get a lot of big drops, even though it was pre-COVID. It just was a year where it happened, where the bigger stars didn't release. So you got the YBN Cordae's that were able to break out more, DaBabies were able to break out more, Meg Thee Stallions. And I think that they got a little bit more attention, and that's been the same this year. You've seen some people blow up that necessarily weren't in the same spotlight or have elevated themselves to a new tier. But what about the legacy acts, the Kanye's, the Wayne's, the Eminem's, the whoever you want to name in that list? Does real estate matter to people that are that long tenured in the game, Jay-Z's, or does that not matter at all? Does that matter even less than it does to the A-list artists?
I say even less. Like, those guys are to the age. You know, old people just say whatever they want. You know, those old people just, like, do whatever the fuck they want to you. Like, I can't believe he said that. Yeah. That's what those acts are right now, I feel like. Like, they pretty much do what they want, say what they want, drop when they want. And not because it's just, like, the quality in there. It's just, like, you are so, with the exception of Eminem, and it's just because he's dropped albums more frequently. Like, when you got a Jay-Z or even Nas off his last album, when he was working with Kanye, it was such a hoopla and a hype around it, and deservedly so. And I think that they know that, and they can sit back and be like, shit, I'll pick my spots when I got something good to say.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like those artists, you know, they're solidified, they're Hall of Fame artists, so it doesn't matter. Like I said, they can roll over tomorrow and be on their way to lunch and say, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and release this. And people will listen to it. So, yeah, it matters definitely less to them, for sure.
Yeah, I think at that point, I think once you reach that stage of your career, if you're fortunate enough to reach that stage, you then become just so comfortable with yourself, with your understanding, with your fan base, and it just becomes a focus about the artwork. It becomes about, with like Lil Wayne, Eminem, Kanye, Jay-Z, all of them, it comes to them as like, okay, I'm doing this because I want to make this body of work, and not because I care about when I'm releasing, as opposed to other people. And that they kind of, I think they pass a lot of the industry games, whereas I think that the newer artists that are coming up, I think it absolutely matters when you release. I think between the current big generation superstars, I think it matters to an extent when you release, but I think the legacy acts are the people that really transcend all of that, because a lot of them, like, see, even like Kanye, like Kanye's got so much stuff. I mean, he makes more money doing his other stuff than he does his music. So
that was my follow-up question to you. Do you think it's from a financial, like a business standpoint? Because like,
I think that helps.
Eminem, take Nas, shit, even Lil Wayne. People try to shit on Lil Wayne because baby owe him money, but he got a lot of outside endeavors too. Jay-Z, of course. Even when you're Drake and you're J. Cole and you're Kendrick, you're still kind of tied to a label and your obligations for that contract that you signed when you first got in. When you get to the age of those guys, or the Eminems and Jay-Z's, like, you don't owe nobody shit. Like, all of this, you trying to make the best business move for you. So if I'm dropping a 444, I want to make sure that Samsung buys a million copies before I even fucking get out of bed. Or if I'm Eminem, I want to make sure that I got these endorsement deals and making sure that it's a million sold before I even move. I think that they're able to make those type business move that you haven't seen a Kendrick Lamar, you haven't seen a J. Cole be able to get to that level yet, just because they don't have the longevity. Not knocking their business acumen at all, they just don't have that longevity. Drake may have that flexibility, but I don't think that he's flexed it yet. Like, I think that we'll see in this album upcoming in the next couple of years, if he's able to move like Jay-Z or move with the freedom of Eminem, that they would have, just because I think that they've been in the game longer, they have more flexibility of their career.
Yeah.
What do you think? Is it a financial thing?
I think that plays a role. I think that absolutely
Does. Always play the role.
I think when it comes to especially like a Kanye, where he makes the least amount of money in music at this point, which is crazy to think that somebody that having the catalog that he has, that for him to be like, for that artist to be like, I'm making the least amount of money in music is to me a crazy, crazy thing. But I think with Eminem and like you said, Wayne and all of these other acts, yes, they're definitely not in the same business as Kanye or anything, but they definitely have their other business ventures and all of that. And I think that financial freedom is part of it. And I think that, again, once you just earn that legacy, I think you have your people that, you have your fan base, you have your group of people that you know you can get to. And yeah, you might get some new ones each album, or you might lose some, but for the most part, you understand, you're very comfortable in where you're releasing. So you're just allowed to focus on the artwork. And that's why I think that it has been such a good thing to see hip hop age, is, and we've gotten some good quality projects like 444, is because they're in a space where they're not proving to people, you know, like anybody that says before Jay-Z released 444, I don't know what this is going to be, man. This might be some trash. Like, okay, if it was, does it matter? It's Jay-Z.
You're right. It wouldn't have affected him in the slightest.
Yeah, exactly.
His legacy is still the same. So I think that that's what trumps hip hop real estate. But I think that having this conversation with you guys, I think that what I can make a prediction on is that this next like 14, 15 months, including to all of 2021, I think we are set for a lot of big music to come, because I think a lot of artists have held out because of COVID, or because of just these times that we're in trying to figure everything out. Now, I want to get with you guys for your predictions here. So if you have to predict, so we know Drake, according to a rapper, and we know rappers suck at release dates, but Drake is pretty true to his release dates. January 2021, Kendrick and Cole, what are we thinking? Are we thinking before Drake, after Drake? Maybe Kendrick before Cole after, one Cole before Drake, or Kendrick after? Like, where are we thinking as far as the big three release window?
I think you have I think you'll have a Kendrick Lamar album before Christmas. I think that you'll have a J. Cole album after Drake's album.
I think it's the opposite. I think you'll have a Cole album by Christmas, and I think you have a Kendrick Lamar album in the spring.
Jesus. A whole nother year.
I don't know if Kendrick fans are ready to hear that.
Yeah. Oh, spring starts the end of March.
Yeah. Kendrick fans are ready to riot right now. I don't know about adding 6 months of that. I agree with you. I'm extra. Like, I think that I would lean that I would think that Kendrick comes out Christmas, but if he doesn't come out by Christmas, I would suggest a spring, because that's what he loved about Damn. He loved to do that because he dropped right as the festivals were happening. And at this point, I don't think festivals are a thing. So I don't know if the calendar, like, is the calendar changed because of COVID to where, like, does dropping in January or dropping in April mean the same as what it did a year ago? I don't think so anymore. I think it's now just about the time length in between.
Yeah, but I
In
think
between the
Kendrick
artists dropping.
has done keeping y'all waiting. You sad mistake.
Wow. I think he got to do something now. I think we're gonna see something from him.
No, I would love to have it by the end of the year, but I don't know.
I'm saying we get Kendrick before the second week of December. I think he'll come, but I don't think an artist would drop that close to Christmas. I think if he does release, it will be in the next month to like 5 weeks. And J.
No,
Cole,
he releases is coming out in December for sure. Kendrick.
maybe, but
Maybe
maybe I mean
12.
first week December max for me. I don't see him dropping like the 18th, like the 18th the week before Christmas.
I don't know when, but I think if he drops this year, it'll be December. If both of them drop this year, I think they'll both be in December.
I could see that. I could see that. I hope to get Cole. I'm not sure about Cole. I'm not sure about Cole if Cole's gonna wait till after Drake or if he's gonna drop whenever, but I think that Kendrick
Oh, J. Cole said he
is
was taking a
ready.
year off. Didn't he say that
No,
after that Dreamville
that's why
album?
we gave him two songs. That's why
Yeah.
that means the album was coming.
What did he say after that Dreamville album? Did he say he said stop doing features? Is that what he said?
All right, there you have it, everybody. Breaking down the hip hop real estate and how that is affected by the pandemic. I want to thank my guest Spike Lou of the On Deck TV
Appreciate
podcast
you.
and my boy M Extra of the Smash podcast, right?
Yep.
Smash podcast. Why don't you go ahead and M Extra and plug all of the information on where you can get that podcast, and then I'll toss it to you, Spike.
Yes, I am M Extra, that's MXTRA3 on all things social media. Be on the lookout for the Smashed podcast coming in late December.
Facts, man. I am Spike Lou from the On Deck TV podcast, coming to you every Wednesday, giving you the latest and greatest from hip hop in a southern perspective. Check us out, man. Follow me on all social media platforms. I am Spike Lou. Appreciate you.
Had to tell us twice. Appreciate it. We...
Facts. I love it. I love having you guys on the podcast. For my listeners that are not familiar with them, you have links in the description of the podcast, wherever you got Spotify, Apple, wherever, you will have links to their podcast as well as their social media handles. So please check them out. I don't know at this point how you could not know Spike Lou. He's been on the podcast so many times. And
I
M Extra's
appreciate
been
it.
on it as well. So at this point, I don't know how you don't know. But if you don't know, check these guys out. They make dope content. They're great follows on social media as well. Thank you, gentlemen, so much for having this conversation with me. I love talking these philosophical hip hop conversations that are not so that I just like not reviewing albums, you know?
That's not so technical.
Right.
Not based in reality as much.
And we did that. What's the album review we did last year? Oh, The Game at the end of last year? Yeah.
Damn, The Game been out a year?
Almost a year.
Show did come
That's
out
a
in
great
December,
album.
didn't it?
That's
Yes.
a
I
great
still
album
listen
too,
to
by the
that.
way.
I still listen to that song where you're talking about his son. Blood Thicker Than Water.
Oh yeah.
Fire.
I
With
listened to
Trey Songz on there.
Yeah. No, wait,
That's
no, not Trey
fire.
Songz. Wait.
I think it is Trey
Who's on
Songz.
this? Is it? Let
Trey
me see.
Songz.
Thicker Than Water.
I
Is
think
that
it is Trey
really?
Songz.
Is it? It is, right?
Blood Thicker. I'm looking this up.
I'm looking this up.
You're gonna get this
Game with
right. Yeah,
Trey
yeah,
Songz.
you guys are right. Wow. I totally forgot that it was Trey Songz on that.
I'm gonna listen to that as soon as we get done. Man, that Reason song fucking amazing. Before I let y'all go,
Oh yeah.
Jesus.
We talked about it on your stuff.
Told you.
Yeah. Yeah, man. What a record. I'm looking forward to seeing what Reason does.